We are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in a series simply called Holy Spirit. And I believe the anticipation is, God, what do you want for us to understand with regards to the Holy Spirit? How can we hear from him? So here's what I want to do just before we even get started. We're just going to take just a brief second of prayer and simply ask this question. Holy Spirit, what do you have to say to me? The Bible says that they that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to our lives. So let's just pray. Lord, I pray today, God, that every one of us would have hearts open. God, that our ears would be tuned not to hear my voice, but to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and speak into us. So, Lord, we give attention to what the Spirit would have to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, this is the second in the series regarding the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Trinity is not a biblical word. No, it's not, but it helps us understand what we're talking about with the Godhead, the Trinity, the tripart. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is one essence given to us in three persons. One God, but individually three persons that are revealed to us throughout Scripture. And as we saw last Sunday, each one has a role to play in our lives. We cannot have just one of the three and think that that's it. God wants us to have an understanding and a relationship and an understanding of how to live with all three. 2 Corinthians 13, Paul writes in his benediction to the Corinthians church, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Eugene Peterson in the Message Bible says this, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God wants us to have a relationship with all three. Not just one, not just the ones we like the most or that we're understanding the most. He wants us to have a relationship with all three. And I believe you have to understand, God the Father, as we go to the three who they are, God the Father is the one, he loves us. Settle it in your heart, God loves you. Not that God loves the person next to you, he loves you, specifically you. Behold what manner of love the Father has shed upon us, bring upon us. The love of God is on us and in us. God loves us. I mentioned last Sunday that if God had a fridge up in heaven, your picture would be on it. That's how much he loves you. He says, man, hey, angels, come over here and look at this face. This is the one I love. And God loves you. Settle it in your heart. It's an everlasting love. How do you know how much he loves you? Because he gave his only begotten son for you. For whosoever believes would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. But it's not enough just to understand the Father's love for your life. You have to understand Jesus Christ and who he is. And it's Jesus Christ who saves us. We are saved by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I have no way of commending ourselves to God. There is nothing in you or me that God says, oh, you are so good, I'm just going to let you in. No, we have the only way we can come to the Father is through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We come into a relationship to the Father who loves us through grace by Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for our life. But then that's not just enough. We have to understand that we can be forgiven, blessed with this eternal life, but there's more to that, and that is with the Holy Spirit. Here's our text out of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 talks about the Holy Spirit. Paul is making his way to Asia, and he's meeting a whole bunch of churches, and he goes to Ephesus and says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, where he found some disciples. These are followers of Christ. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they believed they had received salvation. He says, did you? And he said, they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. It's just not knowing the love of the Father, receiving salvation. We need to have that deep, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And perhaps some of you would even say, who's this Holy Spirit? This Spirit that you're talking about, what is it? Well, we're on this journey that we're going to talk about that. Help you understand who the Holy Spirit is, why we need to have this relationship, and how. How do we have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit? and receive all that he has for us. So we're on a journey. We're looking at this. We introduced it last Sunday. We're going to talk a lot more in detail, do a little more teaching this Sunday about it as we make our way through about 4 or 5 weeks of this. All right. Now, just to get you up to speed, we understand Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth as a little babe, virgin birth, and he grew up under his dad's tutelage for a number of years, and then all of a sudden his heart was turned towards the passion that God had put inside of him. He says, I must be about my Father's business. What was his Father's business? Ultimately, it was salvation of humanity. And until he was 33 years old, he walked on this earth, walking humanity so that humanity would know that he understood everything that you've gone through. And because of that, he went to the cross to die for you, for me. Take our sins, pay the price, take the judgment away, wipe our sins clean so that we can have a right relationship. So he dies on the cross. He's buried for 3 days, rose again, and after rising again, he would spend 40 days with his disciples, speaking to them, encouraging them. He would come and he would walk through walls and not fall through the floors. Come on, that's pretty awesome. He walks in and just literally sometimes just scared all the disciples because they're hiding from the religious leaders and the Roman Empire. And all of a sudden he shows up and he begins to reveal himself more and more. So for 40 days he's with the disciples. And then finally he comes to Mount Olives and there he tells the disciples that I'm leaving. But he says, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait and wait for the promise. There's a promise coming. There's a blessing coming your way. And you're going to receive it if you'll only spend these 10 days seeking God. Jesus, at the end of those 40 days, he sails up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now there he's interceding for you and I forever. Two angels watch Jesus ascend. It's like he's air traffic control, sending him up, making sure nothing gets in the way. And the disciples are all like, oh, he's gone. This isn't good. This isn't good. Jesus is gone. What do we do now? But he left some final words, and these words was, let's go. Go preach the gospel. Go everywhere to everyone. But then he goes, wait. It's like, Jesus, what is it? Go. Wait. Go preach. But wait in Jerusalem. Go and do the Great Commission. But I need you to wait in Jerusalem because you need something. You need the power of God to fulfill the call that I've given you. And these disciples then for 10 more days, they go to the upper room in Jerusalem. They're fasting and praying and seeking God and they're calling out. And then all of a sudden we find in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Pentecost simply means 50. 50 days. 50 from what? 50 from Passover. Jesus Christ died as our Passover lamb on Passover. 50 days later, the time of celebrating the fulfillment of God's blessing and promises, all of a sudden we find the Holy Spirit is poured out. And there in the upper room, 120, the Holy Spirit comes and we read about these different things of the fire of tongues over each individual. There's a mighty wind, a rushing wind that comes in. And all of a sudden, people begin to hear these Galileans, so all of one nationality, really, they began to speak the wonderful works of God in everybody else's language. There was those from Egypt and from Crete and those Jewish and Greek and all these languages. The Holy Spirit moved upon these people and they began to proclaim the goodness of God. And the Holy Spirit began to do this awesome, strange thing going on so that God's name would be magnified and 3,000 would get saved. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and says, this is the pattern. There's power to reach people and fulfill the mission, to fulfill the call of God. And all of a sudden, we find these words. And when you read Acts chapter 2, it says they're all amazed and perplexed. Go, what is this thing? This Holy Spirit, this thing that was poured out, what is this? They're amazed, they're perplexed, they're actually starting to mock it. And they're saying these people are drunk. This is a drinking church. We're not too sure about this church that they're at. They've got to be drinking and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. No, it wasn't just coffee. But all of a sudden, Peter stands up and he goes, hold it. They're not as drunk as you suppose. They're drunk, but not like you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. We're not a drinking church. And then he begins to quote Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, and he says, this is what Joel prophesied. He said, in the last days, he says, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, the day is coming when my spirit won't just be hovering over the earth to form the chaos and bring it into order. It's not just going to be the spirit that'll just land on individual people like Samson and once in a while do a great thing. My spirit's going to be poured on out on all flesh. And he says, not only is it going to be poured on all flesh, but all of a sudden people are going to prophesy. Young men will see vision. Old men will see dreams. Sons and daughters will prophesy. It's going to be on all flesh, men servants and maid servants. And Peter goes, he goes, this is that. This very thing that you see right now, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Joel. All of you religious leaders know about it, and yet you're still perplexed and you're mocking it. When the early church was birthed in the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit came upon those 120, Peter rises up and preaches a sermon and 3,000 get saved. This misconception about the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. That it's perplexing, it's amazing, yet it's something to mock, it's something to criticize. And the same thing is here today. We find many times, you talk about God the Father, not a problem. Let's talk about God the Father. Jesus the Son, we can deal with that. I'm okay with it. Now, talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm not, that. No, that's wackos. Those are crazy people, charismaniacs. No, we're not going there. Just not too sure about that. That's a drinking church. They're going to be swinging off the chandeliers, and who knows what they're going to be doing. I don't want really anything to do with that. And there's misconceptions. And what happens with the misconceptions is it puts a distance between us and the Holy Spirit, where we cannot engage and have that intimate friendship with who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is longing. It says it's longing, and it says, to be with us, to hold on to us, to guide us, to lead us, to fill us, to overshadow us. The Holy Spirit wants to birth in us. But you can't have birthing if you don't have intimacy. You can't have the favor of God work in your heart if you're at a distance. So what we're doing here in this next series is we're looking at, who is the Holy Spirit? How do I have an intimate relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't understand him, you won't want to have more of him. So let's put aside some of those preconceptions. The Holy Spirit is essential to a life of a believer. Every one of us. It is like the lifeline. It is the power line. It is the strength in us. It's the engine that gives us what we need to walk in this ungodly, unrighteous world that God said, don't take them out of the world, leave them. But I'm going to give them my Holy Spirit, so that they can walk in this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3 tells us clearly that when we're born again, the Spirit of the Lord comes into our life. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you're not of his. So the Holy Spirit is involved in our rebirth. When we're born again, when we come by faith into a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. We cannot say Christ is Lord without the Spirit of God revealing it to us. Many can say it, but they don't have it as a witness on the inside where there's a faith response. We are born by the Spirit. In John 3 to Nicodemus, Jesus talks to this young man who says, how do I enter into the kingdom of God? How do I have eternal life? And he says, you have to be born again, born from above. And later he says, born of the Spirit. Flesh births flesh. Spirit births spirit. You have to be born again by the Spirit. You enter into the kingdom of God, into eternal life by the Spirit. And therefore we can say, Abba, Father. We're sons, we're daughters. But through Scripture, Spirit is with us. We like that part. Then it says, he's in us. Got it. The Spirit of God comes in us when we're born again. But then there are these words that tell us there's something more. He says, this, Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Okay, now there's another thing. It's a baptism. It's a immersion of the Holy Spirit. All right, then it goes on. It says, not only that, it'll come, and then you are to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5. tells us we're to be filled with. So all of a sudden, I say this because I'm getting ahead of myself and we're going to talk about this later. This is what I want you to know. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is to be progressive. Become more and more intimate. It's not a once only, one time experience. It is a walk with the Holy Spirit that you become consumed by, aware of. There is a desire for more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't change your salvation, but it changes the victory that you can have in life. There's a power that comes in you and on you and through you. John chapter 16, verse 7, with regards to why do we pursue the Holy Spirit? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him. It's your advantage. Who doesn't like to have an advantage over somebody else? And it's not over somebody else around you, it's over me. I get an advantage over myself that I don't have to walk in my clumsy, wearisome, flesh-driven type of life. There's an advantage. I can win out over this. How do I win out over my thoughts? How do I win out over my attitudes? How do I win out over this carnality in me that keeps wanting to do what I don't want to do? We all have this problem. And the Holy Spirit comes to be our advantage, profitable. It's something expedient, something that we can win out with. When we get a hold of the Holy Spirit, we can win out on these struggles of life. So it's not just about having Jesus your Savior. The Holy Spirit makes your life better. And how many know we all need a better life as we walk with Christ? So let me look at a couple things today. I'm sort of going into a teaching mode because we really need to set this up for, I believe, what God wants to do here in a few later weeks. Let me tell you this. Number one, the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person. And why do you need to know that? Because as long as it's an it, you don't have to have a relationship. But when it's a person, you realize you can develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not an it, not a force, not an apparition. And I believe God wants us to have that personal relationship. You grow in the natural, you see somebody, and all of a sudden they become somebody in your life, they become a friend in your life, maybe it goes beyond that, you begin dating that person in your life, all of a sudden you go beyond that, become an engagement, and then all of a sudden you make a covenant with that. The realm of intimacy continues to go deeper and deeper, a realm of vulnerability, a realm of all of a sudden accessibility. It goes deeper and deeper because you treat that person as in a relationship, not as an it. Not as a thing. You grow into a relationship with that. And that's what it is with the Holy Spirit. You become more intimate and intimate. You can hear the voice. You feel the sense of the presence of God's Spirit. You all of a sudden become aware of what God wants, the conviction inside of you that you don't do what you're not supposed to do because the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you. And it's because you have grown so close to the presence of the Holy Spirit. John 14 to 16, his final words in the upper room with the disciples. They're nervous, fearful. He's leaving. Oh, no, what are you going to do here? Jesus is leaving us. It's life over. And then he says, hold on. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. And that word another is similar of the same. That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. Hims and he's. The scriptures relate that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's a helper. It's somebody who comes alongside of us, walks with us, overshadows our lives as we walk in this earth. And then it goes on, it says, these things I've spoken to you that while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit is a person, but the scriptures make it very clear that because he's a person, there's a voice. He speaks to us. It's not God the Father speaking. It's not Jesus the Son speaking. It's the Spirit of God that is of the Godhead speaking in us. It's the Holy Spirit witnessing to us. It's that voice in us. But the Holy Spirit is a person. You can sadden the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you sadden the Holy Spirit? Well, when the Holy Spirit tells you not to do something and you do it, saddens him. You grieve him when you reject him, when you hold him at a distance. The Holy Spirit, being a person, has emotions. He has a mind. He knows all things that God has revealed. He has a will. believe it or not, the Holy Spirit has a will, because it was the Holy Spirit that came to Paul and says, don't preach. Don't go into Upper Asia. Go over to Philippi, the Philippians. The Holy Spirit withstood him. It was the will of the Holy Spirit that says, stop, Paul. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak into your heart and will say, stop. Stop it. Don't go there. Get out of there. Leave that person alone. You're going where you shouldn't go. And the will of God, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us that he is a person. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not a ghost, but is a spirit in the sense of being spiritual. We talked about this last Sunday, and you can catch that, but the Old Testament, the Ruach is the word spirit that is translated very clumsily, because we don't really have a way to understand the word spirit as the scriptures would have it, but it's a wind. It's a bringing forth of a breath, a wind, breath, violent exhalation, a blast or a breath. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is pneuma, a fresh breath of fresh air, something that fills the sails of your life. Let me tell you this, it's not eerie and ghostly and scary. Because it's a person, he comes and he's spiritual. Can you touch him? No, but yet he can be felt. Can you reach out and put a lean on him? No, but he's there to lean on. There's something about the presence of the Holy Spirit that is so tangible, yet he's invisible. He's so immeasurable, you can't get grip him, but yet you know when there's a more of him in your life. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost, it's spiritual. You worship God in spirit and truth. Our kingdom of God is spiritual, not earthly. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. It's amazing. You start talking about the Holy Spirit, but ooh, it's like Twilight Zone. No, the Holy Spirit's not weird. You guys, no, people are weird. They do weird things and then they blame it on the Holy Spirit. You know, people associate with the Holy Spirit and do weird things, weird actions, weird thoughts, weird barkings, whatever. Can I tell you? They would be weird just by themselves. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes along with Scripture that everything's done in order. Everything's done with kindness. Everything's done in the presence with God's love and grace inside of it. No one, it's amazing, nobody rejects the power of God. They just reject the packaging. Everybody wants to get healed, but they're just not too sure how it's going to happen. Will it be crazy? What will it look like? I mean, Jesus, many times he just laid hands on people or spoke a word and they were healed. Other times he put spit in the mud and grabbed that mud and spit and put it in his eye. He took his tongue and did a little wet willy on one guy in his ears. And I don't know why he did that. You know why he does that? To let you know the formula is not in what I do, it's in who I am. The formula is not in what I do, it's in who I am. But we get carried away in doing some crazy things. And what's happening is Satan's trying to gain a wedge between you and what God wants to do in your life by making you think the Holy Spirit and everything about the Holy Spirit's crazy. And if he can get you to keep distance from the Holy Spirit, then you'll never get to enjoy all that the Holy Spirit has for you, all that the Holy Spirit wants to do. You will push it away. And this journey that we're on is I want you to invite him in. Lay down your preconceptions, your misconceptions, your ideology, your traditions, whatever it is. Lay it down and say, God, whatever you have, I want it. I'm not going to hold anything back. All right. So who then is the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you one verse to help you with this. Ananias, Sapphira were basically lying to God when it comes to the selling of their land. And Peter said to Ananias, how did Satan get you to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back part of the price of the field? Before you sold it was all yours, and after you sold it, the money was yours to do with what you wished. So what got into you to pull a trick like this? You didn't lie to men, but to God. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit brings a truth to you, and then you take that and you deny it, reject it, and in fact, you actually lie about something. The Holy Spirit, all-knowing, again, part of the fullness of the Godhead, knows you can lie to the Holy Spirit. But let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is God. All that God is, the Holy Spirit. Number two, he is our helper. We already saw in John 14 twice how the Holy Spirit was called helper, comforter, advocate. But let me give you two more. John 15. When the Helper comes, whom I sent to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He's the Helper. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He's our Helper. He's our Advocate. He's our Comforter. It's the Greek word parakletos, and really what it talks about is how somebody comes alongside and pick up a heavy log, and together you pick up one side, he picks up the other side, but the side he picks up is a lot bigger than what you can pick up. He's the one that's doing the carrying the heavy load. He comes alongside of you to help you, but not where you do most of the work, it's where he's doing it. He's the Advocate. He comes alongside of us to speak for us. We have an accuser that is accusing the brethren day and night, it says in Revelation chapter 12. But we have an advocate who stands up on our behalf, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit comes and walks as an advocate in our lives, going against the charges that are against us. He's a comforter. I grew up and my mom we'd go out and buy these comforters, you know, these really fancy comforters, and they'd fold it out and keep it really neat, put it on the guest bed, and we were never allowed to touch it, never allowed to use it. If she ever saw you even looking at it wrong, she says, don't you dare. It was a comforter for a guest, you know, like nobody was allowed to use it, and it's just to look good. Can I tell you, God's comforter is not for just to look good. It is to use. It is there for you. It's there to wrap your life around. It is for you to get a hold of all its value and begin to let it work in your life. And it's not for you, like the gifts. The gifts aren't for you. You don't have a gift of healing, a gift of prophesying, a gift of leadership for you. It's for other people that you do it for. Everything that God gives to us isn't for us. It is for us to bless other people with. So when we talk about the spiritual gifts later, those gifts are not for you. Those are gifts for you to use to help somebody else get better in their life. Pull them along. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives to get a hold of us so God can use us to bless other people. He's our helper. As our helper, let me just run these through. He's our, number one, he's our counselor. He teaches us, reminds us, John 14, 26, of the things that Jesus said. How does it, we all of a sudden, we're going through a difficult time of life and a scripture comes to us? Man, I remember that word. How did I remember that word? The Holy Spirit reveals, teaches you, brings to life. All of a sudden, I got to stay away from that. The Spirit of God is speaking to me right now. Or all of a sudden, he's giving me direction in life. The Spirit of God will teach you. He'll be a counselor to you. The anointing you've received from him abides in you, and you do not have need that anyone teach you. Do not get on that says, well, I just got the Holy Spirit. Nobody needs to teach me. No, that's not what it's saying. You need people to teach you. But now that you have the Holy Spirit, the Word comes alive. Before you're a Christian, you could read the Bible over and over and over, and it's just history to you. It's a myth. It's a story. But when the Spirit of God comes and reveals to you who Christ is, all of a sudden you look at that and go, oh, that's what that means. And the Holy Spirit comes to be a counselor in our lives. Point B, he's a guide. John 16, 13, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you all things. I love Isaiah 30, 21. It says, wherever you turn to the right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. It's an inside voice that will call to you, that will say, stay away from that person. He'll say, all of a sudden, he'll say, do something. Hey, go give that person some money. Go help this person. All of a sudden, you got a voice inside and you go, no, I'm not going to do that. Where did that thought come from? No, I don't have any money. I can't do that. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in your heart again. Give him some money. Yeah, I'm saving this. You know, it's the only money I got. And the voice comes, I said, give him some money. Okay, all right, God, if it's you, all right, then you give him that money. And all of a sudden, you bless him. And you don't know where that came from and how that worked out. But all of a sudden, your life, you go, I just responded in obedience to the Holy Spirit. There's an inside voice that wants to, but you can't have it if you don't have an intimate relationship with him. He's not going to overpower you and all of a sudden be a booming voice that you've never heard before. You've got to be attuned to the voice. Learn the voice. Understand the voice. Lean into the voice. Point C, he's a teacher. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things that I said. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. He's inside of you. He convicts you, holds you from sinning, making mistakes. He goes wherever you go. He's mom's voice when mom's not around. You know what I'm talking about? You look around, mom, is that, where are you? You know, but mom's voice is telling you, you're not supposed to be doing that. Get out of there. All right, that's the Holy Spirit coming and talking to you. He's your intercessor. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession through us through wordless groans. Holy Spirit, all of a sudden there's times, I'm stuck. I got no more words. God, what do I pray? And the Spirit of God begins to move inside of you. And maybe there's that spiritual language. It comes an intercessory language. It's a divine language. We'll talk about that later. But all of a sudden you're speaking in tongues, that language. You begin to have words that you did not know you had words for. Because the Spirit is calling out unto God. There's something that goes deeper inside of you. And lastly, it's a fruit producer. Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Go, man, I wish I had more self-control. Get the Holy Spirit. You can't produce in the natural what comes by the spiritual. You cannot have all of a sudden, oh, I'm just going to have more patience today. Yeah, that'll work. You get in your car and all of a sudden, oh man, I lost all my patience already. Because you can't do it. The Holy Spirit produces it in your life. All right, so let me just sort of wind down a little bit here. Well then, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not only God, not only our helper, he's our power. He's Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection. The indwelling Spirit, listen to me, gives us power to war, to battle, to have victory over the things that hold us back. Not just outside forces, inside forces. That carnality, that flesh, those thoughts, those areas of our heart and our life, those habits, those belief systems that hold us back from doing. We need victory over those things, victory over our mind, over our thought life. We need victory over the habits of life. And how do we get that? We need power from on high. This, you'll receive power, dynamite are the words we sort of associate with it. But it's more than that. There is something of an atomic work that God can do in your life when the power of the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and overtakes you. It's something that God wants to do in your life. He commands us, be filled. He commands us, receive the power. Bear with me for just 3 more minutes. Why? Number one, this is part of the teaching part. Sorry, but you need to lay this groundwork. The Holy Spirit empowers you to live righteously. Is anybody here having difficulty living righteously every day of your life? I am. And you know when it's harder? When I'm not leaning into the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I am not seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit as I read the Bible, as I pray out, and as I call out, as I'm putting my time in, I find it's harder to live righteously. But when the presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon my life, I find I'm able to win out a lot more than I lose. We want the Holy Spirit to come to change us from a have to a want to. Romans 8:9 says, do not be controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Don't just know about the Holy Spirit. Have him living inside of you. It's doing life inside of you. When you're filled, change occurs. Your life should be different today than it was yesterday, and it's progressing towards something more tomorrow. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's not one of us that doesn't deal with the lust of our flesh. How do we win out on this? Walk in the Spirit. Have an intimate relationship daily with the Spirit of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live supernaturally. Don't just live righteously, live supernaturally. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus, who was in the flesh of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus says later, greater works than these you will do. How do we live a supernatural walk in Christ? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves inside of us. We can live supernaturally. With our gifts and our ministries, we can have breakthroughs. We can overcome areas. We can have gifts moving in our lives of healing and direction and prophecy and serving and teaching and all these things. The Holy Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Where does this come from? By the Spirit. So we live with that awareness. But thirdly and lastly, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live on mission. You cannot, man, I thank you, Jim, for the word of encouragement today and even the word that came out in prayer and prophecy. We cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. We're weak. Honestly, we're inept. We were never meant to fulfill the kingdom of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. The mission of what God has for us, reaching our neighbors, reaching our friends and family, reaching people beyond these church walls, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me just preach a little bit to you here. If you think that coming to this church was all about you and what you can get and what you can do and how you can be lifted up and how you can be encouraged and how you can just be more like Christ, no, it's not all about you. We're here to direct you to Christ so that you can be like Christ, so that you can go out and reach others. It's never about us alone. God wants to use you to reach other people, and the only way that can happen is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to get in the game. Get in the game. Move out of spectators into those that are activated on the field. Go from spectators and consumers to be those that are moving out with the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? It happens as we invite the Holy Spirit in our lives. God sent his Holy Spirit. Christ rose from the dead, went to the seated by the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can walk with him on a daily basis. Amen.